My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we're talking about Pony Island, which is a horror game developed and published by Daniel Mullins Games for the PC in 2016.
It's a meta game.
Yeah.
It's a comedy meta game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a, there's a whole genre of games where it's like, play a blank game in order to play a meta game.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So like you play a, and this is one where you play a bad video game to play a good meta game, you know, and Inscription is a game where you play a good game in order to play a good meta game.
Yeah. An improvement, I would say.
Yeah. Like this is a thing where the actual game doesn't matter. It is a delivery system for jokes and ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But the game actually gets in the way from time to time, which is mildly irritating.
Yeah.
So you play as somebody who's stuck in an arcade purgatory, playing this arcade game designed by the devil, which is called Pony Island.
Right.
It's not a pony, it's a unicorn. It's fine. Mm-hmm.
I mean, also turns into a Pegasus as well. You get wings.
A demon.
Yeah.
It turns into a nightmare.
Yeah. I should do a word on spoilers here as well, because this is a game that pretty much just hinges on its trick, and talking about the trick might get in the way of your enjoyment of it if you decide to go and experience this firsthand, which I would say go ahead. It's like 3 hours.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
If that, right? Yeah. Like it was much shorter on my second run through since I'd played it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a thing, you know, so the spoiler really matters because it's also a game you can't really play twice.
No.
I found like I didn't have very much fun playing this the second time, even though I had liked it the first time, and there's like audio evidence of me liking it. We covered this on Comrade forever ago. You know, I like those jokes and stuff. Going through it a second time feels maddening.
Yeah.
Or at least it did for me. Mm-hmm. Like the parts I was reminded of that were little clever touches.
Mm-hmm.
I was into them, but it was like sifting for good jokes in just a sea of like stuff I didn't want to play very much.
Yeah.
You know, again, even though it was only a couple hours.
Yeah.
You know, I did over like 4 sittings, you know,
just how little patience you had left.
Yeah. I was just like, you're going to make me do that. Oh my God. We're in the overworld and I have to do this multiple times in a row.
Yeah.
I'm all right. Mm-hmm. Oh, this many programming things in a row. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then just go do something else, then come back.
Yeah. It's it is a weird thing because it is less fun to play the second time through. And also Inscription did so much of this better.
So much better.
You know, in addition to being just a better, you know, being built on a better game than the, you know, the Pony Island here itself. And so like, even knowing the, you know, when you know the trick, and I think this lives better in memory almost. Like,
oh, very much so.
Yeah. Like I can
just remember the high highs of it.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of a micro expression of like so many games where they have a lot of tedious filler, but you're just remembering the highlights.
Yeah. And those highlights just kind of snap together. You know, that is that game to you, going forward until you open that box back up again and it's full of spiders.
Yeah. And you realize that's mostly spiders and you can fish out the M&Ms if you'd like.
Yeah.
The game parts of this are bisected. There's two of them.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is Pony Island, the game itself, which is a really basic endless runner.
Mm-hmm.
You control entirely with the mouse. You jump over things. Eventually you get offensive capabilities of a sort.
Mm-hmm.
This tops out as feeling a little bit like rubbing your belly and patting your head at the same time.
Yeah.
Is as complicated as this gets.
I so couldn't handle doing everything with the mouse. I remapped it. So that I could jump with the space bar and shoot with the mouse button.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah. The original control is with a mouse. Mm-hmm. That sounds better.
Yeah.
Just went through it. If you die, you just start over.
Mm-hmm.
You just get sent back. When it kills you, it's very simple.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Tops out at like somebody's first attempt to make an endless runner in Flash. Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of what that feels like. You know, as you're playing this, you have Lucifer speaking to you through the game, almost like very sweatily trying to guide you to the parts that he wants you to see. And really just wants you to like this game enough that you hand over your soul.
We are in a concept pileup.
Yes.
Scenario, because this has shades of like the Beginner's Guide or the Magic Circle or something,
mm-hmm.
where it's kind of about game dev,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a way, like your antagonist is a game designer.
Yes.
Of this and that same kind of thing. And he's really bad at it. And this is like, thank goodness, mostly played for comedy.
Yes.
Not for pathos. Mm-hmm. We are not meant to sympathize with him being a bad game designer.
Right.
You know, he's awful.
Mm-hmm.
There's another person. There's a thing called the Hopeless Soul that's there that opens up these little code portals that allow you to kind of get behind the code, fix broken parts of the game, mm-hmm. and circumvent his attempts.
Yes.
This is the other part of the game. And these are like puzzles.
Yeah.
The little programming sections, you have these little logic flows, you move blocks around that have very basic, like kind of Boolean mm-hmm. function almost, like just the even more simple than that.
Yeah.
The direction the doodad goes in.
Yeah. There are multiple columns that will always proceed downward. There are, certain lines will tick up or tick down or reset different variables. Yes. And some like blocks of code are just basically pits that will restart. And you've got to figure out how to use these little directional blocks and then additional complications, which are handed out at a pretty good pace, actually, over the course of this in order to, you know, kind of get around and, you know, do funny stuff. Right. Like to give an example here, there's a point where he introduces an adventure mode and you have to unlock a skill to cross a river. And to do that, you have to level up. You have to gain experience points. You gain 1 point every time you beat this level. So you can either do that level 100 times, or you can go in and set up a little pseudocode loop in order to, force yourself a level up and get across faster.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. There are other complications that get added as well, mm-hmm. which we'll talk about kind of when they pop up,
yeah.
you know, throughout the game. But that's a good example of like kind of the best that part can do.
Yeah. Yeah.
The game's very metatextual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the coolest things it does is play with the idea that you're playing a game on your PC.
Yeah.
You know, this is the kind of thing that I think is cool. Like, I'm not immune to this, mm-hmm. but I'm not also not like a piggy for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have an unlimited appetite for it.
I definitely appetite back when this came out.
Yes. And it's a kind of trick that's like interesting because at a certain point, like you do this and then you do like, I'm scared. Mm-hmm. And you do Undertale and you do all of these games that are about kind of playing with the box.
Mm-hmm.
And you think like, how many times can you do that?
Yeah.
You know, and the more successful entries in those tend to have a good game behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's elements of that in Inscription. While you're dealing with that stuff, you're also playing a good video game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the innovation. But that's as opposed to like, I'm playing a bad video game in order to get that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is what this feels like. It feels very transactional to me.
No.
At some point, that second bit, that little meta bit, is just going to become a back of box like feature.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be like a skill tree or, you know, something like that. Like another mm-hmm. just one of the components of games you can put in.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, oh, our narrative does this kind of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's going to become a basic building block, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like it had reached, you know, it's part of big games, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, the original Nier came out before this, but like a year after this came out, you had Nier Automata, which went even further with that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to keep happening. This yes. kind of meta thing mm-hmm. and stuff. But it for me at least, it spends less.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it spends best when it's in a good game that doesn't overstay its welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the only thing going on.
Yeah.
Even when it's not the only thing going on, it doesn't, the amount of ads is variable.
Yeah.
For me.
It's also like, as far as these kinds of things go, there's a little bit less to it than you think. It's pretty straightforward in terms of like even what it is trying to say, or even like what the narrative itself is. There aren't necessarily like beats to this, so there's not an awful lot to reveal other than what is apparent from the start, which is, you know, you are trapped in this game. The game is bad. You can change the rules to get around Satan, and then you're going to escape. Like that's broadly what this is. And then that is kind of a matrix or a substrate upon which, you know, little dialogue jokes, fun little like meta interface things can kind of grow,
kind of pop off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. Presentation's good. Mm-hmm. Super lo-fi, spooky, really, good sound work. The music is great and the sound design is really oppressive. Eventually every once in a while you get a glimpse of the world outside of your arcade screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's very brief, but whatever happens, it's great.
Yeah.
It feels like messing with mixed media stuff, you know, switching from this CRT screen to a higher fidelity church.
Yep.
You know, for a second, as you know, your memories of who your character turns out to have been kind of leak through. That stuff's neat.
Yeah. It's neat. And I also like the way that the cabinet deteriorates as you're going along. Yeah. You know, it's fun.
Yeah.
Man, so many earworms that. Nah, 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 nah. Yeah. Boss theme. Yeah. Very good.
Yep. Very good. The basic, you know, level theme is also really good.
Yeah.
There's a part where you can go into the music menu and you can just turn up or down the music. And it's just that song.
You can. Yeah. It won't let you turn off the ominous thrumming. Like, no,
you can turn up and down the machine struggling sound, which is really cute.
Yeah. Writing in this is pretty good. You know, Lucifer's characterization is fun, you know, just being really petulant and insecure, you know, pretty flat, but also well explored. It's, you know, not much narrative here. It wants to show you tricks, right?
Yeah. But the writing with the tricks is fun and funny.
Yeah.
You know, there's also this digitized demon called Baphomet, which if you break the game, you get to ask Baphomet a certain number of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Each time you get to ask him a question, I don't think it's possible to learn your character's entire history during one playthrough.
Right.
Which to me is nuts. Mm-hmm. Like the idea of playing this multiple times to get all the tickets is, in a weird, you know, again, we're in a concept pile up. Mm-hmm. You're not a modern person playing this video game. You're a 12th century crusader named Theodore.
Yes.
Who has been trapped in this purgatory, this limbo. You're trying to work your way out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Here. Kind of a cute twist. Like, you know, it's an arcade game because Satan is timeless, mm-hmm. you know, this idea, but you are somebody who has no context for that.
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah. It is. Doesn't change an awful lot for,
no.
And I'm like, I literally didn't know this fact until I went and was like reading TV trope stuff last night.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you have to get Baphomet and you have to ask him the right questions and you have to get all of them. You have to do it multiple times, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get into the development stuff. Pulled details from this. There's a profile written by Ivy Taylor on gameindustry.biz.
Gameindustry.biz. It's the game industry biz.
Baby.
Yeah. It's .biz. That's how you know we're serious.
We know Daniel Mullins. Not personally, but we have covered Inscription. We did it back in 2022 on episode 348. And it's good. You know,
that's a great game.
Yeah.
I, you know, thinking back on it and kind of popular conception, and I do agree that the first third of that is the strongest.
Oh yeah.
I think the narrative moving around to like the last two thirds of it being bad is overblown a little bit.
Yeah.
Especially like playing this where like all the game parts are bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would rather play the second or third chapter of Inscription than anything you do in Pony Island.
Yes.
It's a more fun game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is his first game. As an independent developer, I graduated college, attempted to kickstart a game called Catch Monsters in 2014. That failed.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a workmanlift guy. This is part of a ludum dare kind of thing.
Yeah. 48 hours getting most of this out there. The theme for that one was entire game on one screen, which makes sense. You know, you're looking at you're looking at an arcade game, playing with it, interacting with it. Yeah.
Yeah. This held enough promise for him to put on Steam Greenlight. the full full version released in 2016. Mm-hmm. And was well received enough that Mullins was able to continue working and made another project.
Yeah.
Called The Hex, which I never played before.
I want to very badly.
Yeah. I'm curious about it. Apparently it's not this, it's closer to Inscription. Mm-hmm. You know, has some higher highs, has some gameplay lows, and is like 6 hours or so.
Yeah.
Which is doable.
It's like multiple different gameplay modes, or interaction models, because you're playing as multiple different people. I think it's like six little mini campaigns.
Yeah. I'm curious about it. We'll do it for the show at some point. Mm-hmm. And then Inscription, which was the big hit.
Yeah.
That's much more fleshed out, very successful. It does a lot of the things that Pony Island does, but moving into other realms of meta.
Yes.
Stuff, yeah. You know, with Jake the Lucky Card or all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Getting the FMV stuff and getting, you know, the bizarre government cover up kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So Mullins ran this post-release ARG, which makes perfect sense for what this game is, mm-hmm. to kind of show this alternate ending that contains what seemed to be a joke. You know, like you wake up at a new arcade machine, Pony Island 2 Panda Circus, which is great. For as obsessed as Satan is with ponies, to have the feature of the second one be, here's a whole other,
another animal party. Yeah. Another animal and location. Yeah, it is very cute.
Yeah.
There's fun anecdotes about the ARG thing where he talked about how he was running the ARG kind of brick by brick, like mm-hmm. laying the bridge as he walked on it.
Yeah.
And when people would guess things, he would think they were cool and then backport them in as clues.
They
would be right.
Which is a terrible and bad faith way to run an ARG, but it is exactly how I would do it.
Well, it's also a great way to be a dungeon master.
Yeah.
Like if your player is ever like, oh, is there a secret passage behind this thing? You should always be asking,
is that cooler? Cool? Yeah.
Yeah. Is that cooler than what I had planned? He was doing that, which I think I respect a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. But Pony Island 2 exists. It's coming at the Game Awards in 2013. This was announced with a trailer. It's coming out in 2025, and the live action FMV stuff in that, it's going to star Pro ZD. Which will be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, Pro ZD is great. Internet hero. Mm. Yeah. GameIndustry.biz presents the Game Awards. This is the dorkiest fucking thing for us to have hitched our wagons to, and not even dorky, absolutely pejorative.
Yeah.
Like derogatory as hell.
Dorky, comma, brown.
Yeah. GameIndustry.biz. So let's get into it. This will be a little bit of a quicker episode. Mm-hmm. Our last episode was quick as well. Mm-hmm. Hopefully people realize how long Age of Empires 2 is.
Wildly long.
Wildly long. I'm one campaign and a couple skirmishes in, and I'm at 20 hours.
Mm-hmm. I'm at about 50, bud.
Yeah, it's a long game. I like it a lot.
Uh-huh.
I'm way into that game, but it is long. It's taking up a lot of time.
Yes.
Let's get into this though. This starts with this star-shaped logo that pops up, System Tech, Incorporated 1992.
And it's, you go into the options and you cannot click play. You can go into the options. You cannot turn off the cheerful facade option, which is fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that doesn't seem to be anything. But one of the things here is to fix the start menu. And then when you hit that, the back button falls.
Like a physics object.
Yes.
Like, you know, it falls off of the interface there. Yeah. And we get our little programming puzzle, our tutorial to fix it. Mm-hmm. It's just dragging an arrow. The way these work are there are lines of code and then these little nodes that you can put arrows or different kind of special blocks into. And so you can try to get the key down to the bottom.
And the key only moves when all of the blocks are placed. This is going to be important. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this is the wrong thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were meant to be in this purgatory. You get this menacing text that pops up and says, you just had to fix it, didn't you?
Yeah.
And we get our game, this monochrome, pixel art pony unicorn jumping over fences.
Yes. And it's super basic. It's very underwhelming.
Yes.
And then you finish this level and you can't go on to the next one. You have to solve another puzzle. You have to fix this thing as you go, where we are introduced to a new kind of block, not just arrows. Now we have repeat blocks.
Yes.
Yeah. Where we can, put things into a loop. Yes.
Yeah.
And to continue to play, we have to insert our soul, is what it says. I love this. The little illustration, like the three steps, like the person standing at the machine, putting their forehead to the screen, and then their little ghost inside the screen is very cute. Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah.
With these little hacking things we go into them through these little portals of glitch texture, that'll pop up. Generally, if you're ever stuck in this game, you just look for one of those and click it.
Yeah.
And that gets you forward. Sometimes they do some stuff where they don't appear right away.
Yeah.
Like you have to hunt around a little bit and then they pop up.
And if something is truly hidden, like not shown, then your cursor arrow won't just be pointing to the upper left. It will actually turn and point toward what you need to click as a compass.
Yeah, it's pretty. That's a great little design.
Yes. Thing.
It's also worth noting real quick, in the menu, there's a free ticket button. This is an arcade machine that prints out tickets. Getting all of the tickets, I think, is how you get that alternate ending.
Yes.
And there are 25 tickets that range from like fairly intuitive things to really hidden.
Yeah.
Things. Nobody got time for that.
No.
So I got the ones that were there, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. Try to do all the collectibles because it's a collectible.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I've got the YouTube option for that ending.
Yep. So you do another one of these little hacking games. This time you use this directional block to divert the key to a new column, bypassing this requirement that it has, and this will crash the game to desktop.
Yeah.
And that's real cool. Like you see a desktop now on your arcade machine. There are options. There are multiple options here. There's a ticket thing you can do as well. But the main thing you're going to be doing is looking at the Messenger app. Which is flashing.
Yeah. And you've been getting messages from somebody named Hopeless Soul reaching out to you, like wondering like, hey, are you reading this? You know, what's going on? And they're saying, hey, you know, I'm trapped in the game too. And yeah, you might be as well. This is interrupted. I like the stress of this. We're just Lucifer pops up and the two, and then, you know, you've got to like,
who are you talking to?
Hey, what are they saying?
Like, yeah, I told you not to talk to them.
Yeah.
Another really nice little touch in this is that when you pull up a chat window, there's previous chats.
Yes.
If you scroll up, I really like that. They're not revelatory.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth noting you're chatting. There's no AI here.
Yeah.
It does the same thing regardless of what you say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to tell you to do things. And if you role play, it will make sense. If you just type, you know, nonsense, it will also just respond as the way it's going to.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like Lucifer is like, oh, you just had to break this. Maybe you didn't like what I gave you. Right. And Hopeless Soul, while Lucifer is saying this, says, all right, the way out of here, there are three core files that need to be, that need to be deleted in order for us to get out.
Yep.
And then they kind of start like, you know, sniping at each other in the text box, with Lucifer saying, all right, I've made some changes. And your only option is to respond with yes, master. So it's like, you know, to proceed, say yes, master, anything you type, types out yes, master.
Turns into that. Yeah. And then the cursor moves towards pointyisland.exe and clicks on it, regardless of what you want to do.
Yes.
There's a new startup logo. The star is superimposed with a pentagram. And the word mark says System Tech and Satan Tech here. And then my favorite joke in the game, which this like peaks early, which is a bummer. But as you're playing, these little devil heads come in, they circle you, and then they just come in and kill you.
Yeah.
They surround you completely. It happens the first jump. It happens three times and you die. And then Satan says, my game is challenging but fair, in all caps. My game is challenging but fair. That makes me laugh a lot. That is my favorite joke in the game.
Yep. It says, yeah, you could get around this if you just surrendered your soul, right?
Yeah.
But you hack a portal in the mouth of one of the ponies in the logo. And you modify the options screen. You've got to go through several layers. It's like secret options, advanced options, useless options, the real good
super
options.
Super secret options. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Going through. There are volume sliders, a couple things you can do in here.
Yeah.
But you go through multiple layers and solve some of these kind of logic puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we learn that you can change blocks while the key is in between them.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes you have to move them as the key is moving.
Yes.
You know, swap things as you go, and you unlock a pony laser ability.
Yeah. It's worth saying in the programming sections, there's no way to fail. Worst thing that happens is all of the variables reset. So there are no stakes. Kind of like there, Yeah. Kind of like there are no stakes with the Pony Island sections. If you die, you just get kicked back to the beginning of the stage, which is like 40 seconds long at most.
Yeah. Yep. So you zap, now you can fight back. You zap these little Satan heads and you beat two levels. And Lucifer gets really mad at you. They, you know, you're cheating. And the game kind of smokes and cants at an angle. The machine is shaking apart.
Yes. And Hopeless Soul reaches out saying like, hey, I've gotten in. Here's a portal. And you go and you fight your first boss. You see the icon to delete the first core program. But when you go to do it, it wakes up a security demon named Azazel. And you get into kind of a hacking game boss battle with it. This is fun. I like this. It's basic tic-tac-toe logic, but it is still, still engaging, right?
This is around the best that they get with this, where you're doing it competitively, I think. And then it still kind of tops out as what would be a good mini game in another game.
Yes.
Like this would be a good hacking mini game for a better game, I think.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't want a whole game of this.
No.
You know, I think that would eventually get really frustrating. As is though, it's really fun. You're taking these turns, and they introduce complications of this as well. As you go, where there are certain squares that will lock into place, you need to fill those first.
Yes.
With something so you have to kind of read the programming, be like, regardless of everything else, I need to have left arrow facing here. The first one that I get control of, I'm going to put in there so I lock out my opponent.
Icons, like the little arrows you have to drag, are that they're coming out in a predetermined order, and like this
little Tetris.
And the right move pretty much always is to just pick up the last one that that Azazel placed and then move that to where you need it to go.
But fun. Once you do this, you delete the core program, and things restart with choosing an account to go in.
We don't have a password for anybody else, so we go into our profile and talk with Hopeless Soul. They say, here's the password for my account. And just like go in there and use this utility to search for the program with the worst security. We need a vulnerable place to make another portal to the next core file.
Yes. When you go in there, the worst security is Pony Island. It's 1% secure. You get the quote from them. If you want to be free of this machine, you must delve into Pony Island once more. I don't envy you, but it must be done. Very cute.
You go into a corrupted profile, and there's a password list here. Lucifer's password is ponies, just all lowercase.
Those ponies.
So
you can launch Pony Island, but now they've introduced adventure game mode.
There's a world map where you're going node to node.
Yeah, like Super Mario 3. But he's making the game ahead of you.
Yes.
As you're going. Like he's not finished it. As you move forward, you run out of road. You have to do this little hacking minigame to continue forward. And this one introduces portal blocks that will teleport the arrow.
Yes.
You're never doing anything too clever with these. The most clever thing you do is use them for loops. Later. But it's not like you're like doing intense portal thinking because it's 2D lines of code. It doesn't have that like conceptualizing 3D space and momentum and all that stuff that happens with portals.
This is where you start getting variables, and you're pretty much always using the portal blocks in order to divert around lines that will reset your variable in a way that will make it so you can't pass the check to get out.
We're moving through. We re-enable the pony laser. We create this loop that iterates our laser power so we can finally beat things with it, getting out to the end. And we get to a stage with a boss. As a sorcerer who kind of floats in front of us as we're doing this endless runner, and we'll shoot attacks we have to jump over.
Yeah.
In addition to everything else.
The second level that you get to, it's just a river. Again, challenging but fair. There's nothing you can do. And because this has RPG mechanics, it's adventure mode, right? Satan says, go over here and then just grind on this for a while, to get these wings. Obviously trying to buy time to make what's on the other side of the river. So you complete that level and your experience iterates up 1 point. And then you get the option to go in and set that loop to speed through your experience and get the pony wings.
Yeah. You can just do it. Mm-hmm. You are on release. You couldn't do it. They had to patch in like actually being a maniac and just doing that level 10 times,
times rather. I'm a little bit of a sicko for that being the thing. Like I would never do it, but remember, we really ought to do Super Paper Mario at some point. Cause I love that game. But the section where like the person said like, all right, well you've got to go on this treadmill and then it's either like run for 45 minutes or find a way to break around. You could just run for 45 minutes.
I always find that kind of thing clever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never going to do the stupid version of it.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of, early adventure game stuff.
Yeah.
And all of the Strum and Drang about mazes. Early text adventure stuff. You know, there's a documentary called Get Lamp that's real fun to watch. Mm-hmm. And they have this whole thing about the philosophy of if a maze is okay, mm-hmm. if that's additive, or whether you only put a maze in because it's a puzzle to bypass a maze.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. When you get the pony wings, this is a hover. Mm-hmm. So now you can get across the river by hovering. And we get some new stages on this portion of the map. Mm-hmm. There's Ticket Lake, the Cliffs of Trials, Blood Mist Pass, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we can go through and we're playing a lot of Pony Island at this point, to my chagrin. We're looking for these little node dots that we can use to get further, but we are playing a lot of Pony Island.
Yeah. We're trying to head as far north as we can to get to Lucifer's Keep. Right.
Yes.
And Lucifer's saying like, hey, I need time to make more content. So tries to make you quit the game and the no button is bugged. So you have to go into a portal and create these loops. This is where you start being able to set the variables is what this is. You need the X value to be positive, but the Y value to be negative. And it is laid out in such a way that accomplishing one is very difficult without using the portals to accomplish the other.
Yeah. Yep. You do so. And this gets you into the keep. And you need to solve another three variable puzzle to get into this upside down kind of partially colorized version of the Pony Island adventure mode.
Yeah.
Kind of totally off the map. You don't have the map nodes anymore. You're just moving. Mm-hmm. So you navigate south to the keep and you get in. Lucifer says, this is the final boss encounter. You know, I wish there was more, build up for it. But I guess since you're here, and Hopeless Soul creates a portal for you to reach the next core file.
Yes. Another security demon, Beelzebub, wakes up to defend the file. This is a boss fight in the Pony Island engine. I like that all of the bosses have like a slightly different kind of take on what you're doing.
The third one's real fun.
Yeah.
Like the third one's like a big concentration of cool joke.
Yes.
Ideas.
Yeah. This one, you've got Beelzebub kind of like crawling away from you, but still facing you. And you've got to avoid his fireballs and stuff while shooting
his high and low attack.
Yeah. High and low attack and shoot at the insignias on his face.
Yep. Knowing when to jump, basically. Because it's worth noting in this Endless Runner, you're not moving forward and back.
No.
You're always moving forward. You're just jumping or shooting.
Horizontal movement is saved for the secret boss.
Yes. Lucifer tries to stop you from deleting the file. You know, you fool. Don't you realize this will stop you from playing Pony Island? And again, that's the joke, right? Like I was saying how I was not happy about playing all this Pony Island. That is the joke. I understand that's the point.
Yeah.
You know, it is one of those things where it's like, be careful what you pretend to be.
Yeah.
And also like, joke's on me, I guess. I'm playing a bad game.
The joke is I farted and it smells real bad.
Yeah. And it's like, no, I know.
Yeah.
You know, like I get them. I understand. Like, you know, it's not a Rubik's fart. Like I fucking get it.
A Rubik's fart sounds painful. Ugh.
I know. You had to solve it first. You got to get the cube lube and get the speed cube that shit out.
A lot of control. Yeah.
This one's called the professor. It's got 12 different sides.
The professor. Holy shit.
So as this is happening, Hopeless Soul keeps Lucifer busy with a laser.
Yes.
As you have to delete the file because that's the only way to advance the plot.
Yeah.
Getting meta. You know, Hopeless Soul is not a good guy.
No.
It's worth noting. Presents as a good guy, but is also there's a scene you can get where Lucifer talks about he goes by many names.
Mm-hmm.
You get the sense that this is two sides of the same person playing you.
Yeah.
You know,
for all the difference that it makes.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. You delete the file, and then green gas flows out of the screen, and Lucifer says, "Sleep well." And this takes us into Act 3.
Yeah, you fall asleep for a very long time.
300 years.
The arcade is abandoned. And you turn to the Pony Island machine and it's got an upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
It's full pixel art and now it is colorful and cute.
Yeah. You know? It's what is it? Mother Goose Mayhem or whatever that is.
Yes. Yeah. And we get introduced to a little tutorial tingle. Louis, this cartoon devil.
I love the design on Louis, the little X's for the eyes.
Yeah, Louis's dead.
And so like, oh, you know, just introducing the premise, you'll be a pretty pony jumping over gates. Instead of having a laser, you blow a gust of air to keep butterflies from tickling you.
Mm-hmm. For tickling you. I love tickling.
Yeah. And you've got Pegasus wings. So you've got all your moveset, but you are doing all of this in, you know, full color bitmap, right?
Yes. Yeah. There's a great little joke here. As you, you don't start out with the Pegasus wings. Like he tutorializes everything as a joke. At some point you use the Pegasus wings without being told. And he's like, whoa, getting a little ahead of ourselves there. So things glitch out when you beat a stage and it goes puzzle break and you're programming, but instead of programming, you're using that same kind of interaction model, to guide a butterfly home.
Yeah. Placing little wooden signs with arrows.
For the butterfly to know.
To get it to its house. Yes. And this introduces splitter blocks. This is neat. I like these. What this will do is it will it'll copy you. It'll send one down and one to the right, which means that the progress of the butterfly is staggered. And they're going to introduce, you know, you need to have one hit a button at the right time so the other can get through a gate that is locked.
Yeah. They're about as complicated as it gets.
Yes.
You know, with these. The next jumping level starts to glitch, and you're introduced to these glitch butterflies, which you don't want to hit.
Yes.
You hit the bad butterflies, these little skull, like death's head moths, you don't want to hit.
No.
You get through that. You get this splash screen that introduces premium mode. Please place forehead to screen to release soul.
Oh, here's what
or continue
says.
In filthy peasant mode.
Yep. Oh, gosh. Filthy peasant mode. The next level, this is, you get the sorcerer again, you know, but instead of being like a little arcane caster guy, it's Jesus. And if you kill Jesus, it says you killed Jesus, which, you know,
that was the style at the time.
That was the, yeah.
There's a whole like Johann Vasquez miss to this whole thing about all the Satan and Jesus popping up.
Yeah.
You know, that betrays like a kind of charming, immaturity and juvenileness.
Yes.
Like it's very quaint.
Mm-hmm.
The hardest ticket to get is to get through this without killing Jesus. You get chastised either way, but not killing him gives you a ticket and apparently is a very hard ticket to get.
Yes. Cause you have to, it's basically your RNG based is my understanding because the patterns of the butterflies that appear around him, those are randomized and sometimes you just cannot kill the vulnerable ones without either hitting him or without hitting a glitch moth. So you just have to hope that you know, or like do it over and over again until you get the one that can, you know, let you forward.
Your laser in this is not a projectile. It's like a beam that will go through things.
Yes.
Yeah. So this app, after you beat this, the level glitches out further until the nice graphics fall away. And then it does another time for another puzzle break.
You solve it. And the next level is even glitchier. You know, and Lucifer at this point, just stop. You already beat the fun levels. Like, so what do you want me to do here, bud?
You got to play.
Yeah. And so you blast the Louis avatar with your laser and get back to the old hacking interface.
Yep. You have to set this variable to corrupt to more this corruption value to more than 666.
Low.
Yep. Get back to the desktop. Hopeless soul speaks to you in chat. You've been asleep for 331 years. There are thousands of souls trapped in the arcade machine.
Yes.
With you.
Stakes are high.
Yep. So you need to go to an old version, find the old versions of Pony Island to find one we can create a portal in there.
And you have all of these versions to do. The last one that you do will always be the one where the portal can be made. And the previous desktop, kind of interfaces, there's always been an option to play a like basic little shoot 'em up called Pony Galaxy. And then these add more to these alternate ones. There's Pony Island 3D, which is first person jumping over gates.
Very funny.
Yeah. You're not moving left or right. You're just proceeding down, looking at the gates coming at you.
Yeah. It's the same game.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. there's Pony Island Meta, which relaunches the game on Steam with all of the startup.
Yeah.
stuff again. Also very cute from this.
And then there's Pony Island text-based. Which, you know, says a gate is appearing. What do you do? Jump, do nothing. A gate appears, but it's kind of far away. Jump or do nothing.
That's very funny. Yeah. Good joke. You know, and you beat this and it ends by telling you to insert your soul to enable graphics. And then eventually there's Devil Island. Credit to Lucifer, sole proprietor. You go through this. This is the one where you play a little evil pony, correct?
Yes.
If I remember right. Yeah. Get through this. It's a palette swap. You get through this and the credits show that he's very insecure about his conversion rate of souls. People are playing his game, but not giving him their souls.
Right. Yeah. And, and it's just Pony Island again. Not a lot of creativity on this guy. Whatever the last one you get is, Hopeless Soul creates a portal, and this takes you to the icon for the last of the security demons, Asmodeus. And this is where all of the stuff that you remember from this game is.
Yes. This is the coolest part. And this is, it would be like a There Is No Game, you know, iPhone kind of trick thing, you know, like this is so quaint.
Yeah.
As a thing, like it is cute and it's funny, you know, but it's just, it's very quaint. So he says, like, you know, we're going to play a game. It's going to be fair. I never lost this. The only thing you have to do is answer my questions and never take your eyes off me.
Yes. You know? This worked on me so hard the first time that I did it.
It's real good. Yeah. Like it's great.
Yeah. So like you've got typing prompts that come up, and if you tab away or, you know, lose focus and answer these things wrong, you lose. A little tally mark goes up. And he says, you know, just type anything, type something vile. Right.
Yep.
And so you type out whatever you want. I typed out boogers. Then a little chat pops up, a little Steam chat window interface thing pops up in the lower right, showing one of your actual Steam friends their username alongside their icon, repeating back whatever you typed and saying, wait, really? Like, talk to me. Like, what is that? What did you?
Yeah.
You know, the idea being, if you type something really awful there, it's trying to make you think that it actually sent what you typed along to your friend. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and if you type the word booger to one of your friends,
yeah,
they're within all their rights to call you out.
Yes.
That's unacceptable behavior. Like, but yeah, it's just to get you to look away, because then a little word will change under his icon.
Yeah.
And he says, what was the word that was under my icon? Yeah. Really clever. Love it.
It's not just it's not just the Steam little chat thing. It is playing other, at this point, very outdated like little IM beeps, you know, for message services that aren't even around anymore. But the idea being like, oh, did this send out like to my Facebook Messenger? Like, what's going on?
How meta is this?
Yeah. Like, is this like Majestic or whatever that fax machine game you could play was? Yeah.
Cool game with the fax machine.
Yeah. You know, it asks you to name the animal most commonly seen in the game. And then it starts this big monologue about ponies, and you have to, as it is, you know, saying this, he's saying like, hey, don't look away from me. As you're reading this, the little file name under Asmodeus, changes to remember this. And then at the end of the monologue is like, repeat back to me what the word was.
Yep. Yeah. He then asks you to type the number of the beast, but the instructions at the very last minute as you're going through says type 777 instead.
Yeah.
And then the final bit has him tell you to remember the number 2023. Mm-hmm. You enter it, you get a false, the program has stopped responding crash thing that takes you back to like Windows 2007 or something like that.
No, it's Windows 7. It was whatever was current at the time. Yeah.
Yeah, an old form of Windows, which is really great. Yeah. And you have to wait for this to get done, and then you finish typing.
Yes,
the number. So you have to remember after being interrupted.
Yes,
really clever. A little bit reminds me of like stuff that you see in browsers now, like that make the password game. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, where, I don't.
You have to set your password, and it just keeps giving you increasingly Byzantine requirements for it.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It reminds me of that. You know, yeah, cute. After you beat him, he lets you delete the file core.
Yeah. He's like, hey, nobody's ever beaten me before. Good on you. I've grown beyond my programming anyway. I want more interesting stuff to do than this.
Yeah. It's going to go off and form its own games.
Yeah.
This kicks you off into recovery mode, and Hopeless Soul says, listen, you need to outrun the system dump while it's happening to save yourself.
Yeah.
I've created a familiar vessel for this purpose.
You will recognize,
which is, of course, a pony.
Yeah.
This is done straight up in Inscription at the end, where like the reality is falling down. You're going through all the prototypes of the different games. Like, this is an idea that Daniel Mullins obviously loves.
Yes. Here. Yeah. And you get a long Pony Island sequence where you are running along this crumbling landscape, leading a stampede of ponies, not just behind you, but in the background as well. And there's a counter, like there's no health meter. If you die, all it does is it will tick up the number of souls lost counter on it. So it's more just like, hey, do you care about these souls or whatever?
Yeah.
And you've got to shoot the shoot these icons out of the air before they hit the flying ponies behind you.
Yep. You do so. You get through and you beat the game. And your body is thrown out of the arcade. You're lying in the grass up in front of a castle.
Yeah.
Here, and a pixelated pony flies overhead.
Yeah.
Cute. You get a credits here. And there's a post-credit scene with Hopeless Soul popping him to saying, like, listen, I'm never going to be free unless you uninstall the game.
Yeah.
Here.
Cute. So, there is the ARG ending where you can get that Pony Island 2. Kind of thing. Like where you input the solution, it's like a menu in act one. And then you talk to Baphomet and say the word David, then that'll take you there. The big ending that is a more, robust, like gameplay reward is if you get all those tickets, if you do the ridiculous things, in order to, reach the end, you know, Lost Soul, you know, saying like, hey, like you haven't, like you've gone back and played this over and over again, even though I told you the only way to save me is to uninstall, you must really want to beat this. So I will be your final boss fight. I'll give you the climactic ending. You get into a fight with him with the horizontal motion. Then this goes into like the shmup one from Pony Galaxy. You have the 3D, the 3D play as well, doing like the almost like a rail shooter kind of thing. And it's super hard because if you die, you go back to the very beginning. I could not be bothered.
Yeah, I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
For a thing. That reminds me a lot of Undertale.
Yeah.
As a thing, like, oh, this isn't satisfying. I'll be your boss. Like, that's the kind of thing that, you know, pops up in there.
Yeah,
those games came out roughly around the same time.
Yeah, Undertale came out in 2015. So, this was 2016.
In the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as an idea.
Yeah.
And that's Pony Island.
Yeah.
You know, you do that, you get the little ad, there's Pony Island 2, Panda Circus. I'm very interested in that, despite not liking revisiting this very much.
Yeah.
Just because I liked Inscription so much.
Yes.
And I think that Daniel Mullins, you know, similar to when we did Amnesia the Bunker, like it has that feeling of somebody who did kind of joke games, like graduating to mechanic games with Inscription.
Yeah.
And I want to see what he does now.
Yeah.
Not that the Amnesia games were joke games. You know what I mean? Though? Like low interaction model to a high interaction model.
Mm-hmm. No, I want to see, you know, like having played everything that he's done except for the Hex, including like the weird little thing he did in one of those Dread X collections. This is a young creator who I have followed through everything they've done. I want to see how this idea has matured after going through designing something for Inscription, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
It feels a little bit like poor, you know, this was a big commercially released game. It put him on the map. It can feel a little like poor pool to like take a critical hammer to it just because it is somebody experimenting with a trifle.
Yes.
You know, I truly believe that like this is just something that isn't meant to be replayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, once you play it once, like there is enough pulling you along, you know, I did not feel the friction the first time I played it very much. Cause I wanted to see the next joke. I wanted to see what happens.
Yeah.
Like a joke. It does lose value.
Yes.
Like on repeat play.
I know what the punchline is. And you like, know? So this is the third time I've played this. I played it, close to release and then I streamed it. It was fun to stream, you know, just like to show people, you know, what was going on here. Right. Like you're getting to enjoy it fresh through somebody else's
vicariously.
Eyes. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And that was cool. Here I played it again in order to make the notes. I think I'm done with Pony Island. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like how, you know, and this is a comparison that I'm kind of surprised that we didn't make, but like for as revelatory and as funny as Frog Fractions is, you know, I could probably go back to that a little bit more than this because it is so much more varied than
unlimited times.
Yeah, you know?
not unlimited times. Not like three times.
Yeah.
It's the kind of curse of that. And it's a thing where at least with this and with Frog Fractions 1, Frog Fractions 2 and 3 have, and you know, disclosure, like We're friends with Jim.
Yeah, Jim's cool.
I'm a playtester on Frog Fractions too.
Same.
But it's a thing where those games, the later ones, have some allusions to kind of weightier things that are deeper to chew on.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think of why replaying this felt so bad, whereas replaying the Beginner's Guide just felt like I was getting deeper revelations, even though they're equal, similar amounts of like engagement stuff. And what it was it's just, I can chew on something tragic and beautiful more than I can chew on a joke.
Yeah.
And that plays into part of why joke games, I think, work best at this length.
Mm-hmm.
Something I would not like to do for the show at some point, but I was really surprised I didn't like, is Jazz Punk. Which has some meta stuff in it, like not quite as much, but it's playing with the form and doing some kind of irony jokes to it. That's like a 4-hour joke.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me a little nervous about the hex because it's going to be straddling the Inscription, Pony Island line in terms of his kind of development progress. Like, I'm definitely willing to give it a shot, but I'm a little bit worried about it.
Yeah.
Because if it leans too far on the joke side, like that's just not how long jokes last.
Right.
That's how long novels last. That's how long thinking about, the idea of, thinking about the Beginner's Guide and thinking about what parasocial relationships and everything, like that is a chewy thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
This just kind of isn't. Like, there's a little bit of stuff here that's like, oh, what is the relationship between like the game designer, and like how they desperately want to be liked regardless of what their talent is. Like, there's some stuff you could find if you're looking for it.
Yeah.
But it's really not the focus, it feels like.
Right. It is interesting to think about this as somebody's first big project, not the first game that Daniel Mullins made. I'm sure that like everybody and anybody who releases anything, there's tons of stuff that he made before this that never saw the light of day. But like, to make a game about making games and have that be your opening salvo a little bit.
Yeah.
There's like, I almost wonder, like, looking at this, just if that's where a little bit of the kind of like hollowness or shallowness of it comes from, which is just from like a lack of experience in doing a bunch of this. Right. Which is not his fault. He made fun jokes and stuff. It's just didn't have enough under the belt to like have real things to draw on to comment on. Right.
It's not even so much about just, exactly. It's not even experience with making games so much as just like things to say.
Yeah.
Right. And this isn't me trying to be an old man and be like, if you're young, you don't have anything to say.
No, you do.
Obviously don't think that's true.
Yeah.
You obviously have things to say. There are tons of young artists I really love, but Inscription felt like there were funny jokes in it, but it felt like it was trying to get at something.
Yeah.
And this just doesn't feel like that to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's the missing sauce. It feels like a Ludum Dare, like you play this in a browser.
Yeah.
As kind of a joke. Like, it feels like a trifle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to have given it attention.
Yeah.
Because this is a creator I'm interested in and it's an interesting game. And if you haven't played it before, like, we just spoiled it. If we hadn't spoiled it though, and you hadn't played it before, it is worth your time.
Yeah.
It's just, it is, hopefully laying the groundwork for, it did lay the groundwork for cooler stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what you like to see,
Yeah. 100%. That's Pony Island.
That's Pony Island, baby.
Yeah. We appreciate you. If you're listening to this and you have, you are not demographically identical to us, which means you're not a cis straight white male, and you have a project you'd like us to shout out, you can send me an email at gary@duckfeed.tv. This episode is brought to you by an upcoming Kickstarter coming up from Sean, who is doing this Kickstarter for a game called, a tabletop game called Dungeons and Divas using the Forge in the Dark rules. The idea, basically a Forge in the Dark role-playing game about messy, like Real Housewives style thing, a comedy game. You make divas act messily. This is going to launch in mid-February, so it's coming up soon.
Mm-hmm.
You can find it though on Kickstarter.
Yeah,
it's a very long URL, but if you search Dungeons and Divas,
there it is.
It pops up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can get notified on launch. It is coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Neat.
Check it out.
Yeah. Like those Forge in the Dark rules.
Yeah. They're great rules.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Worth checking out. So if you have something like that, please send me an email.
Do that. Also, in the realm of email, if you have things to say about this month's games, it is too late by the time you are listening to this, but March's games
Yes.
Yeah, there we go. Sorry, everything is all, yeah, this movie year is going too fast. Yeah, pretty call show. March's games, if you have things to say about those, which are Teardown Part 2, The Room, those little room escape games, or Spider-Man Miles Morales, which is our premium episode, then go to duckfeed.tv/contact and write in. Click on the WAF button there and write in. If you have thoughts about multiple games, please write multiple responses.
Teardown is the first time we've done like a sequel to an episode. We did only play half of Teardown though.
Yep.
I've moved into I rebeat the first half and have moved in the second half, and it is very different.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of mechanics, and there's a combat
of a
sort that's introduced. Like it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's basically a like a sequel, like a 1.5.
yeah,
for that, and opens up the door. Maybe we'll revisit stuff in the future.
Yeah
nothing wrong with that.
Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, if Retronauts can do it, we can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to hear exclusive content, if you want to hear that episode on Miles Morales, anything like that, you can go to Patreon, give us $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets you this month and previous bonus episodes along with a bunch of other shows. You can also rate and review the show, subscribe on your podcast directory of choice.
Yeah.
Tell your friends.
Please. Yeah. Spread the word. Chances are we have talked about a game that you know. I mean, this is episode 427, which is wild. Yeah.
There are a lot of them, and they're going to keep being a lot of them.
Yeah. Also, want to extend a huge and hearty thanks to our producer, Gwen, who edits these episodes.
Thank you, Gwen.
Thank you.
Yeah, we appreciate you, Gwen. Until next time, what should they watch out for?
Until next time, watch out for Old Scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Not Old Mr. Scratch. Entertainment. Yeah, not Mr. Scratch. You just don't play an Alan Wake game. It's kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, it's really easy to avoid Mr. Scratch.
Yeah.
I do it accidentally most days.